It's the Low Score Podcast with Bobby and Jay.
Well, now's the vault's real. Well, if it is real, why would anyone put in the damn thing? Gold? Hot chicks? Monkeys?
Cheesy but good, it's the Low Score Podcast with your hosts, Bobby and Jay.
Jason!
Hey, Robert, how goes it?
It goes well. It's good to do one of these with you for the final time of the year.
It is. We thought last time it might be our last one of the year, but we were incorrect because we've got a real legit wrap-up.
That's right. Our nifty trick from last week. Did you see what we did? Did you understand the joke?
I think people kind of went, oh, that's moderately clever.
Well, that's why a friend of the show, Campbell, said it was cheesy but good, and I like that. I think that it kind of sums us up in general.
Yeah, I think so.
Say, you've been snowed in.
I've been super snowed in. We got about 18 inches here in the Richmond area. I heard places west and north of us go up. We got any of our Charlottesville listeners. I know you guys got thwomped with like 2 feet. So yeah, it's been, we still got mad snow on the ground. Most of the roads are good now. My neighborhood is still a disaster. But yeah, other than that, just trying to keep inside, keep warm.
Now, speaking of things that are, we still have, but are disasters, we have candy still from Eric.
Yes, we do. We have a lot of candy left. The candy present's so big, we need to extend it into multiple episodes.
Yes. So today we're going to bust into some more stuff. Now, Jay and I must confess that we did eat a little candy afterwards with Jay's wife.
Popping in, exploring through the massive amounts. The first thing I want to try is something we talked about last time, but didn't actually try, the citrus Kit Kat.
Can I eat the same one at the same time?
Yeah, let's do a tag team Kit Kat.
Now, this is the question.
Have a break, have a Kit Kat. It says right on the back.
Is this citrus, like, because it has an orange on it and a lime and a lemon?
I think it's citrus.
Oh, my God.
You need to open it up.
That is some sort of, it's a pinky orange?
Yeah, it's like a mild cheddar color.
Actually, it kind of looks like a light orange Julius.
All right, well, let's eat it. Let's eat as one.
Mmm.
This is a winner.
Mmm. We need this in the States.
This is a big winner.
It's basically like a creamsicle with a wafery center.
That's exactly what it tastes like.
Mmm. Yeah, Eric, you need to bring us more of these or send us more of these.
Or fruit Kit Kat.
Yeah. Jay and I also delved more into our Pokemon candy last time.
Yep.
Which we decided on the whole are actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And I think we do need to catch them all, as someone mentioned last time, because there are multiple flavors of them.
That's right.
Like we didn't get the same. We got each got a 5-pack, but they're not the same 5-pack. I'm going to try this silver gummy thing. Did you get one of these?
Silver gummy thing. Describe it to me.
They almost look like Mambas. Have you ever had a Mamba?
Yeah, I remember Mambas.
Yeah. It was just like this one little silver package.
I did not realize that was gummy. Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of more like a taffy, maybe, but it's like purpley, kind of like a lavender with like a more of a dark purple in the middle. Okay.
Oh. What do you got? What's it taste like?
Well, it's firm like a Starburst, but better texture.
What flavor?
Oh no. It's hard to identify, but it's familiar. It's like, do you ever have Hello Kitty stores when you were a little kid, and they sold little candies there?
No, I can't say that I did.
You can go to the Hello Kitty store. Sanrio Surprises.
Wow.
We had those in malls in California.
California's a terrible place. I stand by it.
Mm. It's not bad. It's a little mild, but like berry flavor, like raspberry.
Okay. That's not too bad. I'm gonna take the plunge, Jay. I have a beer ready to wash down the flavor of this, but I'm breaking into the red box.
All right, I'm gonna do it too. I was scared of it, so I didn't pull it out in my sample box.
So I can kind of read Japanese, or like I used to be able to read Japanese a little bit.
This looks awful.
And so on this, I don't know what it means. It says tsukiri. I don't know what it's supposed to be, but they basically look like some sort of shriveled, dried fruit, almost. Yeah. Almost like a cold like pool cold scrotum, perhaps.
Yeah.
If I can.
Oh, they smell like raisins.
They do. They smell like some sort of date or something. So I'm gonna.
Let's pop them in.
Pop them in.
Oh, no, I like it.
Well, first off, it's salty. That's all I can take. It's like gulping salt water.
Yeah.
Secondly, I can't even bust it open.
No, it's hard.
It is hard. Oh, it has a pit. Okay, that's why. So we're supposed to eat the skin off of it.
Well, I'm sucking on it. Oh, it's just salt.
It is. You know, are these perhaps like salty dried cherries? Ugh.
I'm done with that.
That's not good. Oh.
I'm done with that. This is the first one I've abandoned ship on.
Ew. Sorry about that one. Ugh.
Okay.
It won't go away. It lingers.
I'm gonna try. I'm gonna leave myself one more. This chocolate almond with a picture of like a Kirby was, or a Kilroy was here.
Oh yeah, like the little guy perched over a horizon. Ugh, I can't get this damn thing out of my teeth.
Wow. I didn't chew it. I just sucked on it.
No, I chewed it. I ripped the skin off of it. I chewed it. You have to talk into the microphone, Jay, if you want people to hear you.
I know. Before we keep, Eric mentioned something about these red ones. What do you say?
Oh, yeah.
He says the red box could be dangerous. And also maybe the small red drops that you tasted last time, which were also salty.
Yeah. So salt is danger in Japanese. I know that.
Here you go, chocolate. Oh, there's a picture of an almond on the actual chocolate.
Just in case you forgot in the unwrapping.
Oh. And there's just one big almond in it.
Oh, that's easy. Well, you can't go wrong with just chocolate and almond, right?
Well, but it's interesting. It tastes fantastic. But like when you buy like a Hershey's with almonds bar, mm-hmm. there's like slivered almonds, like chopped up.
Yeah.
Almonds. There's just like one big almond in the middle of it.
It wouldn't surprise me if the Japanese were putting olives in chocolate.
No, and it wouldn't surprise me. All
right. Yeah. I'm also going to try this. This is a white thing that comes in white paper or paper wrap. It is twisted on both ends, and it has a brown center. I'm smelling it. Let's see what it is. It's got almost like a very soft, like papery texture on the outside.
Yeah, it looks like a wafer consistency in the middle.
Yeah. So I'm going to take a little bite of this. Okay. Inside is kind of chewy. So the wafer is filled with chew, which is getting stuck in my teeth.
The wafer is filled with chew. I'm not entirely certain what that means.
You know what it tastes like?
What's that?
It tastes like sesame chicken.
Oh, no.
Like, not necessarily like the actual chicken flavor, but like the sesame sauce, that sweet sauce. That's what it tastes like. It's not bad.
That doesn't sound bad. I do really like sesame chicken.
I wish I could read kanji. Oh, this has hiragana on it, sort of. It's faded. Nah, I can't read it. No idea. It'd be funny if this was actually like bone marrow. That's why it tastes like sesame chicken.
Oh, God.
Sesame.
Japanese bone marrow, they eat so much sesame chicken over on that continent.
Yes.
Well, thanks again, Eric. That's again, friend of the show, good friend of the show, sender of candy to the show, Eric. And I don't know about you, but I still got a bunch of candy left.
I do, too. I'm going to save some of it maybe for MAGFest if I can fit it home on the plane.
Absolutely. I'm popping up another one of these Pokemon boxes. I've got this little white candy here.
Mm. I mean that grape gummy thing you ate earlier.
Dude, they're good.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
It's a caramel. I've been stacking on that green box, too, the green tea stuff. I like those.
Yeah, those aren't too bad.
But this continues to not be a candy podcast.
Surprisingly not. Surprisingly. Our track record would show.
It's a video game podcast, and you have played a whole crap ton of video games since last time.
Yeah, I have. Well, technically since two times ago, because last time I didn't get a chance to.
We couldn't talk about our what we've been playing.
Right. First off, I got a chance to play New Super Mario Bros. Wii.
I'm jealous. Tell me about it.
I got to play it in a group setting, which is apparently how it should be played, because the way that the game works in a group setting is you're all going through the level together. You're Mario, Luigi, and two colors of Toad. But unlike normal or other games where you're playing multiplayer and people just like pass through each other, like characters pass through them, you collide with other players on the screen. So if you jump in the air and hit another player, you could both plummet to your death. And so you're timing jumps and, you know, you're working together to solve problems. Except that it's exactly the opposite. Because it's what it's most fun to do is just fuck with everybody else. Like, you know, someone jumps and then you jump on their head to kill them so you can get somewhere else. And it's very cutthroat and you're all going after, you know, the different items. And
it definitely seemed like, from what little I've seen, that it's really two games. You have the like actual one player traditional Mario game, and then you have this like weird hybrid cooperative but competitive multiplayer in it. And like the competitive spirit, because like you get nothing for being competitive. It just like brings out the like schoolyard bully in you.
Exactly. Like, it is not meant to be competitive, and yet somehow it automatically turns into it. I mean, I guess it's just because of things like the collision detection and, you know, the vying for different power-ups that you just turn on your brother. But in the end, like, everyone still has to get to the end of the stage, so then you start yelling at people, you know, hurry up, move your ass, get forward, what are you doing, you're gonna jump, I'm gonna leave you behind. And it'll do, like, right. The Contra thing where if you get left off the side of the screen, you'll die, and
everybody else just like, sorry, man, get better at the game.
Yeah, so will I buy this for myself? Perhaps. Maybe it was already purchased for me and I will receive it on Christmas. I do not know.
You know.
I'll be interested to see what the single player is like, because it looks like an okay game. Like, I don't know if I'm going to like it as much as I liked a Mario Brothers or New Super Mario Brothers on the DS.
Yeah. I think it looks great. I think that's the only case, since we just played Mario Brothers DS. But I guess it was over 3 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, so we didn't just play it, but it still seems really recent, I guess, in terms of how often we get new Mario 2D games.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that's pretty recent. But yeah, just even feel it just being so similar in the games. I guess that's the difference, how like Mario and Mario 2 and Mario 3 and Mario World and Mario World 2 are also different. Here we have a game that just essentially looks like a level pack for Marvel's DS, not, you know, excepting, of course, the four-player aspect. So
mm-hmm.
I'm excited to play it.
Yum. What else? What did you play?
Well, I've primarily been playing the new Bionic Commando, which I scored on the cheap from Gamefly. Beat it yesterday, and it's I really liked it. It took me a little while to get into. The swinging mechanic is not as intuitive as something like Ultimate Spider-Man was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hang on a second, Jay. We need to. I totally forgot that we can do this. We need a little music for you to
oh, yeah.
Talk discuss
a little,
to.
What Commando about?
There we go. Okay, much better. Thank you.
Good. So, I mean, I don't know how nitty gritty I want to get, but it's hard because you have to let go really early to like get your momentum going, which makes a lot of sense. Like when you watch it and like see how your body behaves, but it's pretty unforgiving in that a lot of the game is meant where you cannot walk around, like you are just swinging from like, you know, through buildings and stuff. Mm-hmm. It also lets you be pretty creative. Like you can be like Spider-Man and literally just ascend a building, or you can use sides of buildings, or just about everything in the environment to swing around. The pacing of the game is really good. It's got a large variety of enemies. Like, so you're doing kind of stealth type battle. You're just fighting a whole bunch of weak guys. You're taking out big robots in the air, you know, like hooking on to, you know, helicopters and ripping the pilot out and then like crashing it in. It's a really unique feeling game with a story that is completely bananas and bonkers.
In a like 80s kind of way, like 80s revival kind of way, or in a current, yeah.
I almost want to spoil it, like, because the story's kind of inconsequential up until the end. Like, you find this game takes place 10 years after the original Bionic Commando, and there's like they kind of flesh out the world. Like when you first beat the first game, like you're heralded as a hero, but then like people revolt against Biotics, so you're like imprisoned and all this stuff because like a mission you have gone wrong, but you're pulled out because you're like the only guy who can accomplish this mission. And it starts off being like real cheesy, but then by the end it just gets bananas again. And like,
you know, go ahead. Just no one's gonna play this game, so go ahead and spoil it.
At first, so like the government that imprisons him is like, why should I help you? And it's like, because we know where your wife is. And he's like, huh? What? So he's like, what do you know about? What do you know about my wife? What do you know about? I forget her name. Sarah. It's like, what do you know about Sarah? I don't know if that's her name. I'm just going to use that. And he's like, why don't you help us? And I'll tell you. So long story short, they like took his wife's consciousness and made it his bionic arm.
What?
Because apparently, like, they kept trying to strap just like robot parts on people, but it wouldn't work. So they had to somehow like infuse the robot bionic parts with like humans who you have like a really like at the soul level connection to before you could use it. And they don't ever really describe like how they do that or like what that means. That's but in no uncertain terms, they tell you that your wife is your arm. Like, I don't know if she's controlling the arm because like.
Well,
like you're controlling the arm, but
maybe perhaps that they used the wife's like memory or whatever to create an AI system that produced the arm to your needs. And so your wife isn't actually in the arm, but she created the arm through algorithms, maybe.
That could certainly be the truth because it ends up kind of ambiguous about exactly like what her fate was.
Also, maybe there's just like an MP3 player in your arm and it's just like your wife's voice recorded.
Maybe, but like Hitler, aka the leader from the first game, you didn't kill him, so you have to kill him again. Although he doesn't look like Hitler anymore.
Oh.
And there's like some of your government friends are evil, and it like makes very little sense. But it is still okay somehow. Like I was completely on board with just a balls to the wall nonsensical craziness.
I guess you have to embrace that, right?
Yeah. There's a couple parts of the game that feel, especially near the end, like kind of unfairly hard, where like I just felt a little too overwhelmed and found myself dying and felt really frustrated.
Now, do you think they were trying to also evoke that like Nintendo difficulty?
No, because most of the game's not very hard.
So you think it's just either bad design or them just not paying attention? Like, what? Why do you think it's so hard all of a sudden?
Mainly because I was having trouble seeing where the enemies were on the screen.
Okay. So it could just be poor level design then.
Yeah, I think it might have been a little poor level design. I really had a good time with it. It's got some flaws. It's got some inconsistencies. But I'd give it like a 4 out of 5. Definitely worth like 20 bones.
Wow. I saw it on the clearance rack at Target, I think, for maybe 20 or 15 or something, but I just know I'm not going to enjoy it. I'm like, if I could borrow it from someone to play it to see if I'd like it, maybe.
Yeah.
But
it is not a very good first impression. The controls are a little clunky. They are definitely, it is definitely a surmountable challenge, but yeah, I had a lot of fun with it.
Nice. Well, see, I busted out my Wii in the past week.
Does it even work?
Yeah, apparently it does. I had to update something so I could download something. I don't know.
Okay.
And then I had to buy things. But the first game I bought is something, or played, was something that I bought a little while ago and hadn't touched, and that's No More Heroes. And that is the game by Goichi Tsuda. He did Killer 7. His studio is Suda 51. And so I had heard a lot of things about it, like, this game is crazy and over the top and maybe a little difficult and perhaps poorly designed in places, but you know, people love it because they like the atmosphere of it and they like the character Trout's Touchdown and just kind of the world it is. And so you play as this dude who wants to become like the top ranked assassin, and in order to do that, not only do you have to kill the 10 assassins who are above you, but you also have to participate in an open world environment doing stupid mini games. So one of the early things that I did was I had to go to a coconut cellar, and apparently coconuts are basically the equivalent of gold, and I had to punch trees until the coconuts fell and then carry them back to the little guy with his stand. And this is after like going in somewhere where I'm chopping dudes in half with effectively my lightsaber and, you know, doing generic Wii waggle actions, which aren't that bad. So the way the fighting works is you get in a room and there's like a bunch of people around you. They just all surround you at once or whatever. And you have to fight all of them. You can do like a charge move. It's kind of like Zelda E. Like you do a charge move. You can pick a specific one and you have like a high slash and a low slash. And then eventually like your power meter can fill up and you have to to recharge, like after doing a bunch of the power stuff, you have to recharge the battery. So you like get down and kind of squat and like jerk it off. It's like unnecessarily. I'm like, why did they? That doesn't make this game edgy. That just makes it look kind of dumb. But yeah, so that's what the combat is all about. And it's like, you know, then there'll be like a quick time event where you have to like swipe both things to the side, your nunchuck and your Wiimote, or swipe them both in the air, and then you do a move. So it reminded me a lot of Mad World and Zelda in that way, where it's just like, you just kind of like shake on it until it tells you to do something, and then you do like a crazy move, and things fly everywhere. The personality of it is pretty interesting. It takes place in like a modern setting, and you play as a dude, Travis Touchdown, and has kind of a good sense of humor, and also has I don't want to say like a kung fu flick vibe, but that sort of thing where the story just doesn't make any sense. You're like, why do these people exist and fight each other? And they all have really elaborate backstories that you don't delve into, but for 15 seconds, and you wonder why someone came up with it. Like, so, you know, I was amused playing it. I was like, okay, this is fine. I don't know if I'd recommend it to anyone though.
I'm really interested in the control scheme, because I like that's what I've wanted from the Wii all along. I think that's what most people have wanted from the Wii all along. Even if the game doesn't fire on all cylinders, it's like, give me something new. Like, at least, you know, let me feel like I'm doing something different.
I don't know if I could say you really feel like you're doing something different. Like, you feel like you're doing something different in comparison to playing it on your Xbox.
Okay.
Where you'd just be pressing buttons. So you
it doesn't necessarily feel like better, or like it couldn't be replicated on a PlayStation or Xbox.
Right, because I don't feel like the actions that I'm doing, like the movements that I'm doing, are actually corresponding to what's going on.
Yeah, like, that's
my problem. I want a big slash down. Like, I want to time that so that I can come down on a person. As opposed to like it going in slow motion and then telling me to do something, and then I replicate that.
Right.
You know, maybe it would have been more difficult to program, but guess what? That's kind of how it works when you make a video game.
That's your job. Right. Now, you're playing your Wii for another reason, too, going back in time. Time machine!
Yeah, we did. We took a time machine to my friend Ben, and I wanted to play Secret of Mana, because it's been a really long time. Yeah. You can only play that game with more than one person, because it is not fun by yourself.
No. And really, how fun is it with two people?
Okay, so the first night, we played for probably 3 hours or so, and we just got to a point where we got our ass kicked over and over. And I'm just so not used to having to grind in an adventure game, like action-adventure RPG type game.
Yeah, that is way old school.
So, like, you go into the castle, and before you fight the boss, you better backtrack, fight everything on the way out, you know, buy new supplies, fight all the way back in. Once we got in the mindset that that's what we had to do, it was fine. And it's actually fun to play, you know, the three characters. I like the music a whole lot. The story, who cares about, but...
The music is really good. And the setting's really fun, too.
Yeah.
And the game's got a lot of charm.
We played for... And that's why it holds up, I think. Like, if that's what people remember it for, when they're like, oh, man, Secret of Mana, that's awesome. I'm like, well, no, not really. But if you play with a friend for, like, 7 hours straight, then it's pretty enjoyable. But I bought that on the Virtual Console. It is the first Virtual Console game I've purchased since I bought and did not play... was it Mario RPG?
Yeah.
A year and a half ago.
I used to buy a bunch. That Mario RPG is the last one I bought. I've got a ton on there from like the early days, and then I haven't bought anything since.
It plays just like you'd expect it to play on the Super Nintendo. I have it for Super Nintendo, but apparently in my move, I lost one of my controllers, so it could not play two-player.
Yeah, that happened to me when I went and got my 64. I cannot find any of my 64 controllers, which is a total bummer.
That is a total bummer. So you found games.
Well, if you remember, astute listeners will remember many moons ago, I went back to my parents' house with the goal of getting all of my old video games and bringing them to my house. And I found most of them, but I was missing two key things. One, my Saturn games, which was a bummer, and all of my NES games, I couldn't find them. But I found them a couple weeks ago.
Yes, where were they?
So they were like behind, it was like in this cabinet that Kevin had filled with DVDs, and like behind a row of DVDs were all my NES games.
That's weird.
I was like, why?
Kevin.
Damn it.
That's why you didn't get to do the opening tonight.
Exactly, Kev. Maybe you'll come back next time. But I found a bunch of games, and I was popping in just a bunch of terrible, random Saturn fighters. Not really terrible fighters, but just like, dude, that is a bad console. I played a bunch of Street Fighter Alpha. Dude, there are load times on that thing.
Really?
Oh, man. Real, real long. none of the controllers I have were good for it. I actually have a joystick for my Saturn, but the start button didn't work.
Oh.
So and like A wouldn't – A or like, you know, no button would work on the title screen. So I couldn't get past the title screen for any games.
Could you plug one in and then switch it? Like swap it after you got through the title screen?
I did not think of that, but that's a good thing to try. But I've tried playing with just a regular gamepad that looks like, you know, the Genesis gamepad and the weird nice gamepad, which looks like the Dreamcast controller.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, they're not good. I did not like playing that game. Though I did end up doing pretty well because, like, I had learned so much from Street Fighter IV. I was like, oh my god, a lot of, like, those super moves, they're not new to that game, even though that is what I learned about them.
Yeah.
I can charge up fireballs in this game, too.
That's one of those things, like, anyone who comes to a series late can never, like, declare, like, oh, it does this in this way. Because, right. Like, where along the line did it add this feature? Because when Jeff Gerstmann reviewed Spirit Tracks, the new Zelda game, he's like, I don't know if Phantom Hourglass did this. Like, I just, right. I didn't play that game.
Right, exactly. But I had some fun with that. I played a little Solstice on the NES, popped in some Rad Racer, popped in some Christmas Nights, of course, on the Saturn, since it's the season.
It is the season.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun. Now, I'm excited to talk about what you've been playing.
Okay.
You've been playing a game I played a little bit ago,
and
it's amazing.
I honestly have no recollection of you talking about this on the podcast.
Oh yeah, remember it was a couple months ago when Carrie was out of town and I just rented it and I beat it in like a day.
It was
all I did for like one Saturday.
I can't recall anything about that conversation, but I bought on Amazon for 30 bones Batman Arkham Asylum.
Worth it.
Totally worth it. That game is worth every penny.
It's real good. Now, I will say I compared it a lot to BioShock in our original conversation.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of its setting and its narrative and how it's like pretty linear, but you're still in like this fixed world. And so it's kind of like the construction and all that. Even though the gameplay is pretty different.
Yes. My opinion of it is that it is a cross between BioShock and Dead Space.
Okay.
Yeah. And actually, it reminds me a whole lot of Dead Space in just in terms of the progression of the narrative, like moving through the levels, the way that enemies come at you. Like, yeah, it has the group combat combo stuff. But I just the way the world tells the story is a lot like Dead Space. In the same way, I guess, that BioShock does it, too. But BioShock is a little more overt. But it does have the things like, you know, you're picking up tapes and listening to stuff so that you're getting the story elements.
Dead Space is a little more episodic, too. Like, there's clear start and end points when you're going from, like, floor to floor on the spaceship.
Yeah, that is true. And this weaves together a lot more. Like, I didn't realize when the game started that I would be backtracking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, there's this thing, like this Riddler puzzle I can't get. How do I get there? Like, what are these grates in the ceiling that I can't get to? And I didn't know that I'm going to eventually come back to that section.
To get the, like, grip. Yeah, you get a lot more moves and stuff. Have you done any of the ones where you have to make the question mark?
Yes. So
those are some of the best.
Let me talk about the Riddler puzzles. I'm having as much fun doing these as I am playing the game, just like straight up. You know, each area that you're in, part of the mansion or the medical ward or, you know, the holding cells, things like that. They have challenges associated with them, which are presented by the Riddler. And the guy, is it the same person who does the Batman animated Riddler voice? I'm not sure, but he...
In the Batman animated series, it's, I forget who it is. I don't know if it's the same guy. It's definitely Mark Hamill doing the Joker.
Yes. And he's fantastic. Except for the fact that when you stand outside long enough, like if I'm like tooling around and trying to get up somewhere high, and it just puts the same four audio clips on loop where the Joker comes over to the intercom and says something.
That is annoying.
They could have recorded twice the amount of dialogue and it would have been okay. But for what it is, it's fine. But the guy who does the Riddler's voice is superb, and it gives you clues, and you have to either find hidden things in the environment or take like a snapshot of something that he's hidden or wants you to find.
Batarang those teeth.
Yeah, batarang the chattering Joker teeth.
Yep.
And like I just, you know, I run around the corridors just trying to figure some of that stuff out. And it took, like I said, it took me a while to realize that I have to come back to some of those later on in the game.
Yeah, I actually, once I realized that, I kind of did them along the way, but once you beat the game, you're back in the world. And I did a ton after I beat the game. I didn't get them all, but I got the 70%.
Right. I think, I mean, if I have the time, I'll go for everything. But
hard.
Yeah, I'm sure. I will cheat and I will look on the internet and find out.
Smart.
But yeah, so this game is totally awesome. I have a few problems with it, a few qualms. Some is like the combat stuff. I find that the trigger, like the triggering, the pushing of buttons, and when it does different moves in combat, is a little wonky. Mm-hmm. I also have really bad residual button mapping memory in this game. I don't know what game it is I was playing recently, and it may not even have been that recently, but something, B button is detonate.
Oh, no.
And so I'm trying to lay all these traps, and then I go, like, hide on a gargoyle, and instead of setting off the traps, I hang upside down, and then they shoot me in the face.
Well, you need to be bothered with hanging upside down, because obviously the best way to kill guys in that game is to jump off the gargoyle, spread your wings, and kick them from the back.
Glide kick them, yes.
Glide kick, that's the best.
Although, I'm kind of partial to the inverted takedown, where you hang upside down.
You hang, and then you, like, pick them up in time.
Yeah.
You get caught really easily that way, though.
Yeah. The glide kick is cool, because if there's, like, a big group of them, you just swing right, or fly right in the middle, kick one dude, punch a bunch of people in the face. And it does the same trigger thing, like the Batman senses, like the spider senses tingling, as the Spider-Man games do. Which is very video gamey, but you know, I don't mind it too much. Like it works.
Yeah, it works, but it's still, you know, even though he doesn't, like, I guess technically have like a power like that, it just feels cool because I really like that it plays on like the detective Batman.
Yeah, I mean, this is, it's kind of like Halo ODST where I walked around in like the visor mode almost the whole game.
Oh yeah.
Like
the only time I ever didn't in that game or in Batman was so I could see what the room really looked like.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, back to stealth mode.
You're like, wow, this is really nice. I wish I could see this. Bzz, back to blue and then neon outlines. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of that. Like, it's awesome. I had no idea. Like, even hearing other people describe it and saying, like, you need to play this game. I didn't understand what the big deal was, and I really, really like it.
I have the same feeling, because even though everybody was giving it, you know, 9s and 10s and 5 out of 5s, I was like, I bet it's real good, but it's still a Batman game. Like, how good can it be? And then you play it, you're like, oh, actually quite good. Like, actually, seriously fantastic.
Yeah. But this game leads me to an idea, and it's something I want to see taken seriously in the future.
Is this your declaration?
This is my declaration. You know what? This game is exactly what the next Zelda game should be like.
Okay.
Because I'm playing through this, I have a Batarang, Boomerang. I have the Bat Claw, Hookshot. Like, I have all these different things. I'm doing a whole lot of puzzle solving and not so much combat. Like, in Zelda, the combat is totally incidental to the rest of it. Like, yeah, you have to fight some stuff along the way, but...
Yeah, and even the boss fights are really just puzzles.
Yeah.
Not really Twitch combat or anything.
Exactly. Unlike, say, God of War, where there's a giant boss, and, you know, you have to wail on him, and there's some elements, like, get around him. But it's way more like Zelda, where they're actually, there's, like, you know, this is the boss's weakness, this is his pattern, this is what you have to learn, and you have to, you know, use your environment around you, or those other kinds of things. And I think that a Zelda game would totally benefit from being set like this. Like, don't do gigantic, sprawling Hyrule, do one very concentrated, specific area, because I've been wondering, like, what is the thing that can help Zelda break out of this mold that I feel like it's, I mean, and I don't feel like it, it's true, it's been the exact same game since Link to the Past,
right?
And really since the beginning, like, that, it's, you know, that is the pattern, and that's why a lot of people love it, and that's why I don't like it anymore. So this would be the perfect type of container that could fit a Zelda game that doesn't feel too out of the realm of what a Zelda game would be like, or, you know, or what the combat would be like and what the adventure would be like, but just different enough to push it over the edge.
I think that's a really good idea. You know, for me, it seems like the open world aspect of Zelda has gotten less and less fun. Like, from Link to the Past, it was great. Like, it seemed like every screen you walked into, there was something to do. And then in Ocarina of Time, it was fun because you were on Epona for the first time, but there's a lot of open space. Wind Waker, I thought it was terrible. I like that game a lot, but I had no fun riding on that stupid boat. Mm-hmm. Same in Phantom Hourglass. And to a lesser extent in Twilight Princess, too. I was just like, all right, let's get to the next town or the next dungeon. Let's keep this game rolling. I'm not somebody who is interested anymore in finding the little nooks and crannies and something like that. So it could be really neat. You could design something like that where, you know, Ganon takes over Hyrule Castle and starts doing all this stuff. You can even have him cast some magic so, like, it becomes a fire castle for a second and then a forest castle. And
totally.
Castle. And yeah, have it change. I think that's a great idea.
But it's like, it's less of the, it's not, you know, I have this next place to go, I commute there, I do the castle, I get the thing, I leave. I go to the next place, I commute it, because like the game doesn't need to take place in a big world.
Like, well, and I don't like the new thing where it's like, okay, go to the castle, get the first piece of whatever I'm getting, go back to home base and do something, then go to castle 2, then go back to home base.
Oh,
go
yeah.
Back to castle 3. Have the last two DS games have been. I had no interest in that shit.
It's like, you can get a little further in this tower. I'm like, no, just
kill myself.
One at a time, please.
Kill myself.
But Batman, Arkham Asylum, if you haven't played this game, you need to play this because it's totally awesome.
Yeah, it's been fun. Yeah.
Like
I said, wait for the Sandman levels. That's my favorite part of that game.
Oh.
Sandman.
Sweet. 2009. Legitimately this time, right?
Really, we're not going to mess with you.
Yeah, we're going to save Castlevania for another time when we can get Jimmy to reprise his role as Dracula. But 2009, instead of doing Game of the Year, because there's no point in us doing that because we haven't played everything this year.
Yeah, that's kind of what led us to do the year in review 98, if we're being honest. It was just kind of like, we both still have a lot of games to play. We, you know, what do we really know about what game had the very best graphics of all time?
Right.
Do we really know what the very best PC game was? No, of course not.
Yeah. So we have a couple topics that we want to touch on of things that happened in 2009, kind of like either the defining points of 2009, big games that came out, just kind of run through it. So 2009, unlike last year, which in a lot of ways was a year of many new IP, yes, there were sequels. But totally 2009 was a year of sequels.
Yeah, and this is nothing super new. I mean, we've seen a lot of, you know, the iteration and sequels. I mean, for as long as video games have been around, and I think particularly this console generation, but it really seemed like this year, just about every big game was a big time sequel.
Mm-hmm. So perhaps, that's spelled incorrectly. Perhaps the biggest sequel of the year, Modern Warfare.
Modern Werewolf 2.
Modern Werewolf 2.
So I just watched New Moon.
I'm sorry.
I didn't really. I know there's werewolves in it.
Oh, thank goodness. Modern Warfare 2, setting the, you know, single day entertainment record for things that make a lot of money. Everyone's super pumped about this game. But, you know, people had been playing consistently Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare up until the moment that this game was released. And, right. You know, for a game like that to have such staying power,
it was just like somebody threw a lever.
And it's like, now you play Modern Warfare 2. Okay.
All right, here we go. It also completely reset the bar on crazy-ass accessories. Like, now that big Halo helmet from a couple years ago seems normal because you can spend $150 to get night vision goggles.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, special editions. Don't get me started on special editions.
Yeah, who cares?
Modern Warfare 2, game I haven't played. Game you have not yet to play.
Me neither. Same with Uncharted 2, a sequel to a game I haven't played. A sequel to a game that, I understand the first game kind of got pretty mixed reviews, kind of a mediocre third-person shooter.
Yeah.
And then this game came out and people went, whoa, hey there, Uncharted.
Really impressed in that because from what I recognize the name Uncharted. I was like, Drake's Fortune? Okay, yeah, that's it. And like,
it was a launch title or like near launch title for the PS3. Is that right?
Don't ask me that. I don't know. We can look it up on the internet really quickly. Okay. See, Uncharted came out in November 19th, 2007.
Yeah, so there you go.
Launch title. But it's, you know, not
even... Oh, no, that's a year after because the PS3 came out in 2006.
Oh my God, you're right.
Wii and 3, where Wii and PS3 are 06 and the 360 is 05.
You're right. The way I have it in my head is that Xbox 360 came out when I was a fourth year in college, which meant I graduated in 2006.
Oh, yeah, but it didn't. It came out when you were in the fall semester.
Or the fourth year. Therefore, 2005, yada, 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 boom. So, I mean, you know, generally early title. And I didn't know anything about it. Like, and people got super excited for Uncharted 2, and I said, what is this game? Is that, don't know their subtitles. One is Drake's Fortune, the other is Among Thieves. I don't know what a thief is. I don't know who Drake is. Is this game, you know, the same game that's supposed to be, I don't know. Sorry, I totally lost my train of thought on that game.
Forza 3 is a game that we both really like, and that is a sequel to another game that we both really like.
Yes, thank you very much for saving me.
I think we're both on record in this podcast kind of not knowing how we would feel about the game when it came out. I think you were a little more excited than I was just because you hadn't sunk quite as much time into Forza 2.
Correct.
But it seemed like both of us, and sometimes host of the show Jimmy, as soon as that game came out, it was like a big break on our lives. Like, let's play some Forza. Let's get it. It's done.
A big breaking line in our lives.
Oh, zing.
Thank you.
Captain.com/Forza.
And a game that I need to revisit once I'm done playing all these other games, because Forza is an evergreen kind of game.
Yeah.
Like, there's no immediate need to play Forza to get through Forza, because there's no story. Like, so you don't have to worry about people spoiling it. And it's not the experience where you need to share in, like, the escalation of whatever the game is. You just, you know, eventually talk to people. You're like, oh, yeah, I got this awesome car, and now I'm doing this type of thing.
Yeah, and it's not the type of game you feel like the need to power through, too, because it's going to last. It's not going to be like, oh, I want to play, you know, Halo right now because everybody's going to be talking about it and everybody's going to be online. It's like, no, you just play at your own pace.
And that's exactly why I played Halo ODST when I did.
There you go.
I got a super discount pre-order and like a $10 coupon with it. And I said, you know what? Like, I'm not the biggest fan of the Halo series. You know, I loved Halo 2 and I thought 1 and 3 were not bad, but I'm just going to jump aboard this one. I'm going to play it like day of.
Yeah, it's a cool feeling to be a part of something like that. And you know, I'm not a big, I always say I'm not the biggest Halo fan, but boy, they really just make a good first-person game, or like a really good like single-player game.
Yeah.
Like every time, I mean, I don't know if that game's worth the 60 bones when it came out, but boy, it's just like a great game start to finish, still looks great, still plays great. It's cool that they give you all those Halo 3 maps. I wish I gave more of a shit about it.
Yeah.
But in terms of a value, like, that's pretty crazy.
And being on the ground floor, not only was I getting to talk about the story and the normal single-player game, but I got to play firefight mode with people, which is something that I just, like, would never have done in the past because I would have got the game so late that no one's playing it anymore.
Right. So you'd be like, hey, you want to play firefight? They're like, is that in Modern Warfare 2?
Yeah, I don't
know. No. Well, then I don't want to play with you.
Like, that was the game I caught people who wanted to play that online at the time, and I had a really enjoyable experience. And I think that's the problem with me playing multiplayer games in the past, is that I've never been on the ground when these games come out.
I think it's what you got to do. I think it's something that both shooters and, like, MMORPGs kind of have a problem with, to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we should also talk about, expecting the games that didn't play, Ratchet & Clank, Crack in Time. You know, all of a sudden, I found myself, like, caring about Ratchet & Clank.
Yeah, coming back to it after so long.
Not only did this game get great reviews, and I like Ratchet & Clank a lot, but after playing the first two, I was like, yeah, this is all kind of, you know, the same. And they came out.
I get it.
For a while, they came out every year. I was like, okay. But it seems like, personally, for me, it's been a lot, coupled with the fact that this game got really stellar reviews with kind of a new thought about the way weapons level up. I've heard they level up faster they did before, so you can kind of master more weapons. The other games are kind of built where it would be like, okay, if you pick one gun and you play through it the entire game, you'll finish leveling it up just about at the end. Mm-hmm. So you like pick something, dedicate yourself. So I like you're able to take more advantage of you know, all the different guns that the series has always had.
Yeah, one thing I'm looking forward to now that I'm, well, in as of what, 3 or 4 days, going to be a PlayStation 3 owner officially, is that I'm going to go out there and pick up games like this.
It's pretty cool.
And I think I'm just going to skip right to Crack in Time. I don't know if I need to go back to what was the first one for PS3?
I don't know. Something. They're all vaguely punny.
Something future.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the stories in those games are actually quite good, though.
Tools of Destruction.
I don't know how 100% essential they are to your enjoyment of each subsequent game.
Yeah, I can't imagine that I've missed a whole lot of narrative in the past 3 years.
Yeah. I guess it's not so much the story that's good. It's more like the writing and the humor that's really good.
Exactly. So you can hop back into it.
I really want to play Resident Evil 5. You know, here's some sequels like this seem okay. Like, it's been a long time since Resident Evil 4. Game came out looking killer, taking advantage of those new features, kind of a new persistent co-op the whole game. I actually own this now. It's on my docket, and I can't wait to get playing. I was kind of hesitant at first because I was like, I didn't like Resident Evil 4 at first until I could play it on the Wii, and for some reason that control scheme really worked. And I don't really know if it was quite the control scheme or just like my patience and headset or headspace was in the right space to understand, like, this is how you play one of these with this control scheme, and it's weird. But I'm looking forward to tackling Resident Evil 5. Ever since Campbell was on the show, I'm like, man, I'm not going to get that game. So now I did. So now the next step is just to put it in my Xbox.
Well, speaking of next steps, I'm going to skip over and say Killzone 2. That is a game that came in my bundle when I purchased my PS3.
Cool.
I like shooting dudes a bunch, and the Killzone games for PlayStation 3 are supposed to be a good shooting dudes in the head kind of game.
Yeah, I heard that's what you do in those games. Another, like, gosh, maybe even more improved than Uncharted. I do not think Killzone 1. I think, you know, Uncharted people say, hey, you know, it's okay. I thought Killzone 2 or Killzone 1 was not well liked back on the old PS2.
People were super disappointed by it. That's what it was. And,
yeah, maybe it was overhyped. It was overhyped as a Halo killer, and people were like, this, no, has yeah, problem.
They're looking for the Halo killer, the Gears killer, that, like, enthusiasm for shooting, and, you know, didn't have that. To me, you know, looking back on it, I would just lump it together with Resistance and say, yeah, those are like, so.
Man, like killing attempts. Yeah, and especially after, you know, you can't talk about Killzone 2 without talking about the trailer that came out. Because I think back in the 05 E3 at this point, you know, that was kind of, it blew everybody's mind and then was kind of revealed to not be real gameplay, but, you know, to kind of make it past that kind of bumpy start. Having people like it so much is cool.
Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, people are enjoying this game, and I'm really glad they're having a good time. Maybe I'll have a good time, but I did not really like Assassin's Creed 1 at all.
What was your take on Assassin's Creed 1? You had a nice little rant for me the other day.
It just... I wish...
You said something to the extent of... It's kind of like Metal Gear Solid, except that there's no place to hide.
Yeah, that's really it. So it wants to be this, like, and maybe I just don't, like, understand the controls all that well, but it seemed like, okay, you get all these stealth missions, but I'm not in, like, an industrial base. I'm in, like, a big open, like, city or field. And there's missions that I just don't understand how to do, where, I remember the example I gave you, there's little missions all throughout the game where there'll be, like, a poor guy getting harassed on the street by, like, street thugs, or, like, actually, I think they're, like, soldiers, like, trying to harass a guy, and like, a prompt comes up on the screen, like, save the guy, and it's like, how do I save the guy? It's like, well, I gotta fight these guys, and if you fight them, like, the game is designed where, like, you come behind and choke people and, like, stab people from behind, and, like, fighting one or two guys in hand-to-hand combat is no problem. It'll be, like, five guys harassing this dude. I'm like, how do I stealth kill these guys? And if you just go up and fight one of them, you lose. You can't win. Mm-hmm. It's not one of those. It's one of those times where you feel like it's not that I'm not good enough. It's like this is impossible. I just feel like it's really poorly designed, or maybe they're just not explaining to me well enough what to do. And like the story seems okay, but like at this point, where I am early, it's too vague and stuff. Like there's no like explanation for why they have kidnapped this modern day guy, and are like putting him through. His ancestors, they're just like, we just want to find more about the assassin lineage.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Until people started talking about it specifically after the game came out, I knew nothing of this. Like this modern day thing. I was like, what is this? I'm so confused.
Yeah. It's like modern day. You like go in this machine and then it like retraces your ancestors' memories.
Like all I knew was like dude in the Renaissance or whatever, or wherever any of them take place. I have no idea. Like, yeah. all I know about this game is box cover. That's
yeah, there you go. Well.
That is the extent of my knowledge.
Veronica Mars is in the first one. I don't know if she's in the second one.
Oh,
that's a highlight.
I like her a bunch, but I could just go online and look at those, like, digital images of her, the stills. And
I just put in Veronica Mars seasons 1, 2, 3.
Oh, we watched
on Amazon.
We watched the pilot again recently. It was on TV.
So good.
Goddamn.
That shit holds up.
I just wanted to go back and watch the entire season.
That fucking Aaron Gossip Girl on that channel now. Look what they used to have.
Ugh, it's too bad.
Disaster.
They used to have a show by the guy from Matchbox 20.
Hey.
Yeah.
Rob Thomas. That's funny.
They do have the same name.
Speaking of Matchbox 20 in the 90s, you know it was really fun in the 90s? Street Fighter 2.
Street Fighter 2 was crazy fun in the 90s.
You know it was really fun this year? Street Fighter 4.
I remember the first time I saw Street Fighter 4. Like, in person, it was at MAGFest, and someone had, I don't know how they had a copy of it or whatever, but they had a copy of it, and they're playing it on this gigantic projector on the wall. And I was kind of drunk, and I just wandered in the game room, and I just stood there in amazement. I was like, this game looks insane.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen, like, the style of the fighting game, you know, the aesthetic of the fighting game was so different from all the fighting games that have been coming out recently and the things that people have been playing. I was in awe, but I did not play it as much as you did.
I was surprised. This is one of my biggest kind of hits of the year. I bought it on impulse just because I've always been like a theoretical Street Fighter fan. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always had fun with Street Fighter 2, like on the SNES and in the arcade as a kid and with friends and stuff. But I was never any good at it. Never a hardcore fighting game fan. Always kind of liked and was interested in the genre, but never really got into it. But for some reason, so I bought this game on a whim. And I was like, I don't know if I'm wasting my money buying it full price at launch. And it just bit me. Like, I don't know. I was like driven to like learn it. Like learn some moves, pick some characters, power throughs, a lot of frustrating. I mean, just like dozens and dozens and dozens of consecutive losses online to like start figuring stuff out and like getting okay at it. And that's the thing. Like, I'm okay at it.
Mm-hmm.
But
you still have fun with it.
I have a ton of fun with it. I always felt like, even when I was consistently losing online, I really felt like I was learning, and I really felt like I was getting better, and like, and every fight was meaningful and like useful to me. You know, and there's a lot to do in the single player too. You know, the game achievement wise rewards you for going through the game with every character, which is a great way to, even some of the like new characters you don't care about, like forces you to play. And a couple of them, I was like, oh man, I really like Abel. Maybe I'll get kind of good with him.
I kind of like Crimson Viper.
Yeah. Sea Viper, because, you know,
she's a
viper. Oh.
Oh my God, I say that?
But, you know, and it's funny, the reason I mentioned Street Fighter 2 is obviously there's been 1,000 Street Fighter games in the middle of it, but this is a sequel to Street Fighter 2. I mean, if we're being honest, even that game was like, what, 18 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
It was the perfect mix of nostalgia and like a special kind of nostalgia where like I remember loving the game, but my experience with the game was actually pretty limited and being like an exceptional game on and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
So go Street Fighter 4.
Go Street Fighter 4. So that's one of your highlights of the year, right?
It is one of my highlights. If I had like a yellow pen and this podcast was a piece of paper, I would like mark over that like a, remember this for the test. Like, because I'm highlighting it with a
pen,
with a marker.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no, that's, I understand that.
No, like one of these.
You actually have a highlighter right next to you.
An accent. I opened this drawer up and I was like, I want to have a highlighter. I did.
Now you can do it for real.
I'm gonna crayon it. I'm gonna 24 pack crayon.
Put it away. Just put it away. So what is another one of your highlights of the year?
Oh, man. Well, we already talked about Batman, which we don't need to talk about anymore, but I want to mention that was definitely a big surprise, a big highlight. And something we can both talk about is Borderlands.
God, where did that come from?
Where did that game come from? That's a game I barely like knew what it was. I mean, even up to the point of it coming out.
The way I knew about it was Jeff Gerstmann's excitement for it.
Yes, that's where I first like heard about it for sure.
And he's talking about, it's like, you know, you can play single player, but it's just like drop in cooperative, but that's like not necessary to beat things. Like, you can play it on your own or you can play it with friends. It's fun to talk with people, but you can also just go through the game if you want. I was really excited about that because I don't like multiplayer games where I have to rely on being able to schedule something with somebody. But if I can just like play, like, hey, you want to play something and drop in?
And that's the key. You know, people compare this, rightfully so, to something like Diablo. But one of the problems with Diablo was your multiplayer characters and your single player characters were not compatible.
Mm-hmm.
You could not import one from the other. At least no way I knew about. And this game was, there was no differentiation. Like, on your save file, you had a world. And like, you could have other people join your world to like where you were, or you could join other people's worlds with your levels and go help them with missions. And if you completed missions you hadn't beat, hey, you completed them. If you've done them where you already have, you're getting some experience and you're having fun and all.
Mm-hmm.
That. It's a really unique game. You know, it's like taking a bunch of different styles of games that are kind of played out. You know, the first person shooter, your kind of loot collecting game, your kind of like RPG, and mashed them all together and making something feel really fresh.
And you know what it brought us? That's the best of all.
Oh, well, your entire soundboard.
Didn't play because I'm playing music. I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't think about that. If I'm playing music, I can't.
This is where
the
cars live. Catch you one.
There
what
we
you
go.
Want? Don't be shy now. Come on, catch a ride.
And we did catch a ride with Borderlands.
We caught a ride with Borderlands. We met if we were having categories, like we were giving superlatives, and there was best new character of the year, Claptrap would absolutely be my top pick for best character of the year.
I need a Claptrap sound. Someone needs to get on the Claptrap soundboard online.
Come on, check me out. I'm dancing.
Just a game that has a nonsense story, but so much personality and really just compelling shooting people and shooting objects and shooting things. Like, it's the type of game where if you explained it to me, I would say that I would not be interested at all. I was like, I'm just running around shooting stuff. Why am I interested? And you say, well, it has looting. I'm like, why do I care about more loot? And yet somehow it still worked.
Right. I mean, I think any game where you're shooting midget shotgunners in the face is a game that I want to be a part of. So that's me. What have you been up to? What are some of your highlights from this year?
Well, one of my highlights from this year was going back to a game that I played many years ago. Thanks for showing the highlighter, Jay. It's playing a game I played many years ago, and which is one of my favorite games of all time, and I wanted to reconfirm that I loved it so much. So I went back and I played Chrono Cross, as you may recall, as soon as I finished my thesis. Like, I handed my thesis, and then I sat down and I played a new game plus for the weekend, and I beat the game in like three sittings. And that game still is totally rad, and I love everything about it. I love it so much that I actually just bought a second copy on eBay.
I really got to ask why. Just to like spread the love, like give it to somebody. Did you have the greatest hits version? You wanted that like old, like real version, or
actually, you know, I want to have it like, yeah, I could spread the love and let someone borrow it and not have to worry about my copy. I do actually have a regular copy of it. I had a greatest hits at one point and then bought another. This is the third one I've owned technically. Cause nice. I got it originally, and I got a greatest hits version when I lost one of my discs. So I put that disc in the original copy.
Okay.
And then now I have another full copy. But yeah, mostly for spreading love. And it's one of those things. We were at the mall today, and there was one of those like fandom stores where they have lots of anime and Bleach and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we've got those.
And they had two sealed Chrono Cross soundtracks, and I really wanted to buy them, but they were $50.
See, that's just silly. And especially in an MP3 world, it's like that's the kind of thing where I'd like want to buy. Can you buy stuff like that on like Amazon MP3 or
no?
Like OSTs? No.
Not for any old games in general. So some of the new games, yes, you can. You know, they will release it alongside. I bought the Shatter soundtrack for $1 because everyone on Twitter told me to buy it for $1, so I bought it for $1.
I was like, I've never heard of Shatter.
Yeah, neither have I. I think it's PlayStation 3, is that?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
That would make sense of why I haven't heard of it, but...
So I bought that for $1.
Okay.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, in a world where I have the MP3s of it, $50 is way too much to pay. But if I could find it for like $30 as a collectible, and
I hear you.
That's something I'd like to own.
That soundtrack's great.
Oh, that soundtrack gets me through. Anytime I have a long stretch of writing or reading to do, that soundtrack is there to love me, to love on me. But yeah, I beat that in the spring. And that was, I mean, it's something old, but it was one of my highlights of the year.
That is awesome. One of my more random highlights of the year was probably the discovery of Catan. I didn't buy Catan this year, but just a couple months ago, I popped it in, and whoa, that game is really addictive and amazing. It's like, as odd as this sounds, it made me want to go get the board game Catan. Because it seemed like it's fun to play with real people online. People don't, it's like this German board game that they've converted to like Xbox, and you can buy it in like hobby shops. It seems like they sell it next to like where you would buy Axis and Allies or something like that.
It's a pretty popular game. I know friend of the show Solosi plays it every Wednesday, I believe.
No kidding.
Yeah, he I am me and said he was playing poker and Catan. So
I've never played the real game, but I can see, you know, even just playing online against people who even I'm talking with them, I'm like, this would be so fun in like a big group set, and like getting four people around the Catan board and putting your little road pieces down and getting trading resources and shit like that. Man, it is like a great, like, man, I'm tired, or like it's the best. Like, I had a bad day at work. I don't want anything challenging.
Yeah,
Like, I don't want to, not to say I don't want anything challenging, but I don't want anything stressful where, like, I'm going to, like, fail. Like, I might lose at Catan. But I just want to sit back, chill, no Twitch gameplay, just have some fun. It's a good, like, detox game like that. So Catan rocks.
Say, I also played something that was a physical game translated to computers, and that was the Magic the Gathering PC game.
Oh, yeah.
Which I never played before, and then Kevin gave it to me, and I played a ton of it. Like, way more than I expected to. I had 3 computers with all the save files and stuff synced up so I could have it on campus, on my laptop, and on my desktop.
Wow.
And I played that game a lot, and I could have been playing a lot of other things.
Oh, man.
I won't say anything more about it, but yeah.
Well, all I will say about it is, now, I played mainly the Magic the Gathering Xbox game, which is solid, but not nearly as good as the MicroProse one that you are talking about.
Not nowhere which, close.
Which I only did not play because I could not get it to work on my computer. But I own the CD, the compact disc, the legit. Let's do this.
That's awesome. I'll have to send it to you and see if mine.
It's black with a big red mana symbol that takes up the whole disc, which
that's
pretty good.
That's intense. I like that.
Yeah, if you have a way to jerry rig it so I can play the game, that would be ideal.
That would be ideal. Say, speaking of playing games online, you are a whore for trivia.
I've played a lot of 1 versus 100 this year. In fact, I played it this Friday night. We were snowed in. Like I said, Dan was over. So I brought Dan and Carrie up, and we played 1 versus 100 for like 3 hours and killed a case of Sierra Nevada.
Nice.
Which definitely makes 1 versus 100 better. And I've gotten to the point where if 1 versus 100 isn't live, I don't really have much interest. Because part of the fun is the cheesy host, the like really getting behind. Because it combines. Because I love game shows. Okay, I love watching game shows, and like to make it so I'm actually playing along with it. Even if like not really, like because you're almost never. I've never been in the one or the 100. Because it'll be like there's 30,000 people playing, and I'm like, all right, 101 over 30,000 is a pretty small fraction. So I'm not going to be in this group.
Mm-hmm.
But like. They give you experience points now. You like unlock different stuff. You're like you're in a group of 4, so you have kind of this like artificial like I want to be the first in my group, and you know, kind of like mini game they've constructed while you're basically watching a game show go along, because you know it's not just like you're playing along at home like thinking you know the answer. You're like sitting there committing. You're pushing buttons, and it's fun in groups, and it's free. I think they need to do a better job with the advertisements. I actually don't necessarily think there's too many advertisements. It's just Sprint and Progressive. So you see the same ad again and again and again.
It's like watching a football game.
Oh, it's off. I'm like, you need more sponsors. I don't think that like how many ads I see is intrusive. I just think there's not enough variety.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I think one of the things that's cool about it too is I hope this is not like it for the quote unquote Xbox Live primetime or whatever they're calling. Like where they're blanketing this under. Mm-hmm. I would love to see more games like this. Like more of these community party, big, everybody.
Do you think that in general they have to be game show style like this? Or do you think that they can branch out into traditional video game genres?
I think they could branch out into traditional video game genres.
I would love to see like a zombie game. Humans versus zombies.
That would be a lot of fun.
Kind of like a big game of tag.
Mm-hmm. Or even some like a better designed like Sims, like a persistent Sims type of thing. I think you could kind of do
PlayStation Home.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Touché. Maybe that's not the best idea I've ever heard. But I personally, not thinking about like the artistic or medium, I would love as many game shows as they could do. I would watch anything. Wheel of Fortune, Price is Right, Press Your Luck. If they could fit Match Game into this scenario, I don't know. I would just be waiting all day until I wouldn't need to buy games anymore. Just Match Game every night.
So we are playing Password at Magfest.
Oh my god.
I'm going to need you to help me out with some clues and stuff for Password.
I would love to.
I'll start a Google Doc.
I love game shows. I also love whoever ends up being the host needs to really like ham it up.
Oh, no doubt.
And like whoever are we doing? Are there's going to be like celebrity panelists?
Yep.
Or like okay, good. the potential for this game is just fantastic. It's just out of this world.
I wish you saw Match Game last year because we had the music.
Oh no.
Yeah, Yeah, it was totally rad. All right, so we have something on here, and for different reasons. I don't know if I want to call it a personal highlight, but it is a big thing this year. For you, it's a personal highlight, and for me, it's just an important thing. You love Rock Band, and you play a lot of Rock Band, and you download a lot of Rock Band songs.
I play Rock Band every way I can. I play Rock Band a lot by myself. Carrie and I play a lot. We play a lot of four-player. I download songs probably, I would say, at least every other week. There's something I'm interested in downloading. I got Beatles Rock Band on day one, and I've spent too much money on the three album packs the day and date they were released. I've played through just about every song in that game, like on every instrument. I love it. I don't know. It's just like sometimes I kind of go in waves, but like I would just the other day I was playing Rock Band 2, getting into the drums. I got three of the four drum achievements I'd never gotten, just like the drum trainer stuff. It's a game that keeps on giving. I'm just like, I don't know when I'm going to get sick of this game. I just like, as soon as there's, like, every time there's new songs, it's another excuse for me to turn on the game. And so I end up playing, like, the two or three songs I've bought. And then, like, I sit there for, like, two or three hours playing through, like, my favorites. Or, like, something like, oh, I never played this on bass. Let's play through this and see what this sounds like.
And you say it's a game that keeps on giving, but for me, it is a game that gives and it doesn't have anything that I want. So my landmark of the year, or one of the landmarks of the year, is that I have Rock Band, and I have Rock Band 2, and I have all the equipment. I've downloaded a bunch of DLC, and I have Beatles Rock Band, and I just never feel like playing. I don't want to play by myself ever. I don't have enough people over in general to play with other folk. Like, when I've had people over, yes, that is way fun. But it is such a rare occurrence that I guess someone in the group has to own the game for us to be able to play it, and I bit the bullet. But for the most part, it just sits and collects dust, and I never want to pop it out. I never feel compelled.
I'm just like, I'm always thinking of new ways to play. In fact, I just bought a second pedal for my drums, so I can like double kick pedal. So I got one on my left foot and one on my right foot, which is like learning the drums all over again. It's like you're back on easy mode because like you want to start. You know, ideally it'll make it easier, right? Because you can move your. Instead of going like tap, 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 it's like tap, 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 you know, like left, right, left, right, left, right, instead of right, 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 right. But getting your feet coordinated like that is so hard. It's like, it reminds me of like first trying to use your pinky in Rock Band. It's like, this is not a finger I used to do anything.
We saw a Guitar Hero World Tour contest or something at the mall today.
A World Tour contest?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know why they were playing
World
Tour, but... Yeah, they were definitely playing it in the mall.
Well, I don't know why people play Guitar Hero anymore. I am so prejudiced towards Rock Band, it's not even funny. But I'm like, I could not have dick interest in Guitar Hero. Screw that game.
Okay. Gladly. I don't mind.
Which is dumb. I mean, I in some ways, I feel like somebody who likes Pepsi saying Coke sucks, even though they are exactly the same product.
Yeah.
But... There's just a philosophy behind Guitar Hero, and I guess we're like Activision. I'm like, screw you guys. You have irregular DLC. You got weird songs on there.
You've got odd track pack, or not track packs, but artist packs.
All their songs still seem so guitar centric. Like, here's a great thing about Rock Band. The other week, they put out Simon and Garfunkel songs, and I was like, these songs have got to be terrible on Rock Band. I bought one. I bought they had The Sounds of Silence, which I was like, no chance, that's good. Then they had I Am a Rock, which is okay. But you know what I like? Both those songs are really fun to sing.
Yeah.
So it's like, these are for singers. It's like when like the Rush pack comes out. It's like, this pack is for drummers. And I like that they're thinking both like specific instrument wise and like band wise and like pop culture wise. It seems like they're doing a lot with the one game. See? I mean, to me it's silly like you would buy SingStar or Lips because it's like there's Rock Band.
Yeah. Unless you just only love karaoke and you don't have any friends.
I guess. But even then, just the volume of songs in Rock Band is crazy.
I'm thinking of DLC stuff. And it's hard for me to imagine that Fallout 3 DLC still poured in this year. Like, that's...
Five, it all poured in.
Yeah, that's right, because we got Fallout 3 at the end of last year.
Fallout 3 came at the end of last year, and then we got five DLC packs of varying quality. And I really like the game. I'm not entirely sure it was the best value. Like, I'm not sure each of those was worth the $10 I paid for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like the idea. It was like, I beat the game, and then every month it was like, hey, that game you really liked, there's more. And it seemed like it stopped just about the time when I was about done with it.
Well, that's great timing. Perfect.
Yeah, like, I was like, I don't know if I'd really be interested in a 6. But I remember, like, when I finished 3, and they were like, there's going to be 2 more, because they originally announced 3, I was doing fist pumps. And then when there was not an announcement after number 5, I was like, okay, that's probably a good choice. But, like, they could do really goofy stuff, like taking you, you know, to another island, taking you in space, taking you to, you know, Philadelphia or Anchorage. You know, adding other stuff to the game. It was just a really creative way.
There was no Philadelphia DLC as far as I remember.
It's Pittsburgh.
Way different experience.
Those Pennsylvania cities. You know that Philadelphia one called the Pit.
Yeah. Precisely.
Right.
That's okay.
But I thought it was a great way to. I liked the experiment. Like I said, you know, some of those packs were really great. Some of them were like Mothership Zeta, which I thought was pretty mediocre. Mm-hmm. But it was the first time we'd really seen like that level of post dedication to a single player experience, and I was glad to see it.
Nice. You know, one thing I've loved about this year has been saving money via Amazon. I mentioned with Halo ODST that I saved $20 on it by pre-ordering it, and then I got a $10 coupon, which I applied to Fallout or to Forza 3, which I got for $10 off already. So, I mean, and the amount of money I've saved and those kinds of discounts and, you know, free shipping, not having to pay tax, not having to go to a store and deal with anybody has been awesome.
That's been the best thing of all. It seems like games in general, maybe, I don't know if it's the economy or competition or both or what, but it seems like games are getting cheaper. Like, I just bought, like, within the course of the week, Gamefly was having all these sales with free shipping. I bought Bionic Commando, $10. I got Riddick, which I was waiting for. It was like $60. I may wait for it to go down to like 30 or 40, $10. Resident Evil 5, it's like $13.
That's cheap.
I'm like, dude, games are getting reasonable. It makes it harder and harder to pull the trigger on a $60 game.
It really does. You have to want to play that super bad. And in fact, I don't know if I paid $60 for anything this year.
I think the only games I can think of, Street Fighter 4 and Beatles Rock Band. I paid full price.
I got Street Fighter 4 for $20 when it dropped down really quickly. And then my girlfriend got Beatles Rock Band for $40. It just went on sale like 2 weeks after it came out. It was nuts. So yeah, mad props to Amazon for helping me fuel my habit.
Go Amazon. Go online.
Okay, but this game or this year hasn't been all wonderful things, correct?
You know, some games have been, or some, not necessarily games, but some things have been real bummers. Real sad face, frowny face, thumbs downers.
Okay, so the first thing, and this is related to me specifically, is iPhone games. I had a lot of hope for what the iPhone game would be, what it would become, all that it could do for me, and being able to buy games cheaply and play them everywhere. And I found that, you know, anything I wanted to buy or anything that I bought, I would play for, you know, 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, and almost never come back to. Like, it got to the point where spending $1 seemed like a waste.
I really want to know, because what's interesting to me is there's precedent. Like, in Europe and Asia, I mean, from like 5, 6, 7 years ago, cell phone games have been huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, screw smartphone games. Like, cell phone games were huge.
Yeah.
And their technology was usually a few years ahead of us, but it seemed like now with stuff like the iPhone, it's like, all right, we're on board with everybody else. Here you've got, if not the control scheme, at least like the hardware setup to like do games like that.
You know, I joked that there's this the iPod Touch commercial right now where it, you know, has a little music playing and the guy plays like, you know, 10 different games for 5 seconds each. I said that it was very appropriate because that is the amount of time that you can tolerate an iPhone game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I still go back to Texas Hold'em. Like, that's the one iPhone game that I really enjoy still. And, you know, beyond that, I play things and I recognize, I'm like, yes, okay, this is a cool concept. I could see myself, you know, being bored somewhere and playing this for 5 minutes at a time, but I never feel compelled to pick up my iPhone and play something on it.
No, and I don't know why that is. You think, like, it would be more convenient because it's in your pocket.
Yeah.
And it's not like your PSP or your DS where you're like, oh, I don't want to carry that around all the time because it's another thing to have.
Like, but I could literally play it whenever I want to, but I don't want to. And people are like, well, you know, you should buy these games. I mean, they're only 99 cents.
Right. And I'm like, there's no proof of concept. There's no, like, good game to point at, like for Xbox Live Arcade, which fluttered for a while. But you could point at Geometry Wars and say, but look at this.
And I would say that there are a handful of games that are good. And that I would say, you know, if you buy an iPod, here are the five games maybe that you should get. One of them is called Orbital, and it looks like Geometry Wars, and you shoot things into space, and I don't even want to get into it. I enjoyed GeoDefense, which is just a defense game, a tower defense game that also looks like Geometry Wars. Ellis, which looks like retro Geometry War. I mean, you know, the things I point to, I'm like, yeah, you know, that's an interesting idea. But that's the type of game that you would have played for 5 minutes on a Flash website before, and now you're paying 99 cents for it.
Huh.
So if we went out and said, you should buy the Low Score podcast, it's only 99 cents, people would tell us to fuck off.
Right,
but
absolutely.
As an iPhone like business model, like that's totally reasonable. They're like, wait, it's just 99 cents. Just buy it. Like you have 99 cents.
This is probably a good time to announce that Low Score podcast, starting with big episode 37, will be going to a pay model.
Paid subscription model. DLC. You can download segments. You download a container, which is just where the podcast should go. It has the intro and outro music. And then you download segments as DLC.
Right.
And those will be $2 each. The music stopped perfectly.
It's pretty reasonable. One of the biggest bummers for me was a game, and it's Brutal Legend. A game that everything looked great. Great cast, great graphics, great idea. And then, like, as we slowly saw that they were I really feel like they were trying to pretend like it wasn't a fucking real-time strategy game on a console. And they were like, oh, actually, by the way, sorry, guys.
Yeah.
We made a real-time strategy game for Atelier. And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't need to go into it again, but it is not any good.
So speaking of big disappointments, in like that, Red Faction Guerrilla and Far Cry 2, two games I bought, you know, almost within a week of each other. I was like, all right, open world.
You were high on Red Faction Guerrilla for like a week. You were all about it, man.
If you go listen to that podcast, I like do nothing but express my love for that game.
No.
And it just went all downhill when I realized that was all the game had to offer, and it was never going to change, and it was never going to get any different. And Far Cry 2, I was like, this looks really cool. And I did like the whole intro section. Like, yes, this is awesome. And then it became an open world game. An open world game where it's not fun to get around. An open world game where you have to travel long distances. And if your car blows up, you have to walk through the jungle. Like, that may be what it would be like in real life. But guess what? That's not fun for a video game. So, disappointing.
Speaking of not fun for a video game, games that we have not played, but, you know, let's put both of these in the same category. Well, no, let's not. Tony Hawk Ride, let's start with. I think it was less disappointing when it came out, which is kind of like a shrug, like, well, but when we saw it at E3, where it was like, you know, as big fans of Tony Hawk, they finally took a year off after the last couple have been pretty poor. 2 years, they had to revitalize the series, come with something new, and what do? They gave us a fucking skateboard peripheral.
It seems like a logical conclusion. Like this,
I don't know. Both of us on, again, if you listen to that E3 podcast, we're like, no chance that works.
Dude.
It didn't work. We were 100% right.
Yes. One prediction correct.
100% right. Yeah, I mean, no surprise that game is total garbage.
It's just, I could never understand how it was going to work. Just from the beginning, like I was thinking of all the things that you do in a Tony Hawk game, and I was like, well, that board can't do any of those things. So,
and who wants to? I mean, really, who wants to sit there and stand up and like jump around playing video games? I mean, like for some things that's really fun, but as for like a long time,
yeah,
like no, that's not what we want
to
do.
If you could like find a way to really simulate crazy action skateboarding with like a skateboard on hydraulics, and I can like hold on to something, but it's not just like the top skate in the arcade, like. Yes, now I'm interested. Give me like VR goggle. I don't know. But, you know, that is the logical place that peripheral needs to go. Not just like, well, you can like kick and then you move forward.
Yeah,
and then
it's like, all right, if you wave your hand,
you're like, I have,
you'll do a grab.
I have to like bend. That's not what I want to do. If I wanted to do that, I'm going to go skateboard.
Disappointing in a different way would be DJ Hero, a game that I was really high on.
Me too.
And neither of us ended up getting it.
Too expensive. That's
too expensive. It's too expensive for a single player game. Like I think that's what it came down to me. Because I played it in the store and was like, this game is really fun.
Like we said before, if they had released that at the $70 Guitar Hero, original Guitar Hero price point,
we'd both own it.
We would both own it. And I saw it drop to, I think, 90. Jimmy sent us an email. It was like, hey, DJ Hero's 90. Still not enough.
Yeah, it's got to be $60 or $70 at this point.
It's just, I think,
pull the plug.
For me to take that risk. Now, a risk I did take was to hop aboard the Motion Plus bandwagon. I don't know if it was a bandwagon so much as here was a new thing. You might buy it because maybe people will use it in different games. Right. And I got Wii Sports Resorts, and that game is... and I haven't played it since the first week that I got my Motion Plus. And that kind of sums up my experience with the Wii for the entire year.
Yeah, I played some Tony Hawk 10. Or not Tony Hawk, Tiger Woods 10 with the Motion Plus. And that was pretty good. And again, like when it came out, it's just like, you know, these stupid accessory death knells. It's like they announce a bunch of games, like the couple EA Sports games and Wii Motion Plus or and Wii Sports Resort. And they're like, yeah, and it's got this new control. And like, no new games are on the horizon with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
None.
That's super disappointing. Yeah. I mean, I did buy a couple of Wii games this year. So I bought, I bought Mad World because it was went to $15. And I said, I'll give that a shot for $15. And that game is okay. I bought Klonoa, which is a remake of a PlayStation game, so that doesn't really count as a new game. I probably could say that New Super Mario Brothers Wii is fun enough to say that yes, the Wii had one good game this year. But like, what else came out? Like Punch Out.
I didn't buy Punch Out. I didn't buy a single Wii game. I was just looking over my shelf. I didn't buy a game.
Like, and I didn't realize that Klonoa came out and Mad World came out this year. Like I just bought those because they were super cheap. So. Right. Such a just a disappointing year. Didn't buy any VC virtual console releases. Nothing.
I thought being a Nintendo, Nintendo had a pretty bad year all around. The DS had a disappointing year overall in terms of like big games. But there were games that came close. I bought both Henry Hatsworth and Rhythm Heaven. Games that were good ideas that I never really got into. I thought Henry Hatsworth was too repetitive. Rhythm Heaven, I thought, was too difficult. And I also think there's a problem with these sound-based games on a handheld, at least like the way I play games. Like I like to play portable games mainly when I'm doing something else. I'm on an airplane or watching TV or something mindlessly. So I like want to play games with the sound down. And so like I'm like rarely in a situation. Like if I'm ever in a situation where I can play games with the sound on, like I want a big TV, I want my whole immersive experience and all mm-hmm. that. So it just never caught on for me.
I didn't like the swiping method in Rhythm Heaven. Like I just didn't feel like it really worked. I liked Henry Hatsworth a bunch, but I can, looking back on it, I can understand why most people didn't care for it.
I really like it at first. I don't think the mechanics are the problem. I think it just gets too repetitive. I think like they needed another puzzle or something, or to make the single or make the platforming more interesting. It just felt really flat and uninspired.
Yeah. That's too bad. I mean, I did buy a bunch of DS games this year, and a lot of them are older, and I got a big pack of them when I bought them from a friend, but I never really feel compelled to play my DS.
No.
So, I don't know.
Well, I was going to say, one of the last things on this list, just like we're talking about sequels, there's sequels every year, but this game was particularly bad for sequels. These games get pushed back every year, but this seemed like a particularly bad year. It seemed like a rather weak holiday release schedule, all things considered, just because a lot of games that I personally was interested in got pushed back.
Mm-hmm. I say we are supposed to have Mass Effect 2.
Right. We'll talk about ad nauseum on this podcast. Love Mass Effect. Bioshock 2.
And here's the thing, like the Bioshock 2 buildup, they had this huge marketing campaign. Remember us talking about the websites and all that stuff?
Mm-hmm. All the countdowns and the viral stuff.
That just went away. Like, it was a waste of them to pull the trigger so early on that.
Yep.
I mean, Gran Turismo 5 has been supposed to come out indefinitely, so we can't really say that.
Right. That's what I kind of said. It's like kind of. It's like, I guess it's finally coming out in 2020. Same with Final Fantasy 13. I don't know if they ever announced a release date in 2009. Yeah. And I guess it came out in Japan this year, but
I mean, they never said that, yes, we are going to get it in 2009, but I think we expected to get it by this time because
they announced it at E3 2008 for They didn't even announce it, but they announced it for Xbox at E3 08.
Yeah. And, you know, FF12 came out during, you know, the fall time, right around this holiday release schedule.
Yeah. It came out, like, around the time the PS3 came out.
Yeah. So, you know, we figured we'd get that. Now, you've mentioned this before, maybe at least twice. I don't remember what Dark Void is. What the fuck is Dark Void?
I'm not sure.
You just wrote it down?
I just keep hearing about it. It's one of those words where I was like, I remember people were mad that got mentioned. Let's talk about it. Same with Heavy Rain, which I'm not interested in, but that seemed kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that at all. As someone who's played Indigo Prophecy,
yeah,
I don't care. Don't care.
But you know what we do care about?
What is that?
The list.
Are you talking about the list?
Good morning, Captain. Well, good morning to you.
It's the list.
It is the list.
For episode 36.
And it is, in going with our theme, it's the top five games of 2009 that we have not played yet.
Yes. What's better than a top five of all the games, the top five of the games that we don't have any qualifications to talk about?
Right. It's the games. If we were trying to be, you know, do due diligence here and talk about all the games of 09, they're the five games that, yeah, man, I wish we played that game. I'm really looking forward to it.
I really wish we had played some of these games. I'm very excited about my choices. Some of them came out of nowhere. I had to do a little research. I was like, oh, yeah, that was this year. Yes.
Mine are all pretty common. I'll start with a game that I know you've played, and that's New Super Mario Bros. Wii.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to using my Wii again. And I don't know. It just the multiplayer seems weird enough. It looks fun enough. I like that red box. I will fully admit to play and do a gimmick, but I like that red box.
That box is red, which is different than the other boxes, which is why you'll buy it.
They're white. I know. I really want it. But we've already talked about game ad nauseum.
Yeah, and I guess technically I've played that game this year, but not really. So that just missed my list. So one game that I'm going to be able to play soon, I figured I would go with one of the big hitters first, is Uncharted 2.
Yep, that's on my list.
It seems simple enough, like a big, really well-received game that everyone went bonkers for.
Yeah, it's just like a good third-person shooter. There's stealth, there's puzzles, great graphics, you know, fun story, kind of Indiana Jonesy inspired. Yeah, it just looks really cool.
I mean, I don't know if I heard anyone say an unkind thing about Uncharted 2.
No.
Next up for you.
Yeah, I was like, if we're talking about big hitters, I mean, Modern Warfare 2's got to be on my list.
Of course. That's on my list as well.
Yeah, I mean, again, it was the first game I put on this list. It's just like a... Talk about kind of feeling out of the loop, but it's just like, man, I know... Because I don't really want it for the multiplayer. I'll probably give it a shot. But... I really liked Call of Duty 4's story so much, and I felt like every level was really different. And so to get more of that, I think it would be really cool, really special. I mean, what are you looking forward to about it?
Say, I haven't played Call of Duty 4, so really that...
No kidding.
No, I don't own it, and it's $30, and I don't feel like spending $30 for a four-hour campaign.
It is really good, but boy, is it short, yeah.
So if... I was told by Simon, my friend Simon, that I could borrow it, and that never happened, and the semester ended. So eventually I will get around to it, and then I will get around to Modern Warfare 2. And you know, when they talk about playing it online, I actually get kind of excited. I'm like, yes, I could play that game online. But it's just
different. The perk system is really cool.
I don't know if it's going to happen.
It's a good way to like reward you for playing, even if you're not sitting there winning every time. What else you got?
All right. Let's talk about looting. Let's talk about Torchlight.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Based on my experiences playing Borderlands and being compelled to do that kind of dungeon crawly type stuff, I would like to see what Torchlight is all about, because everyone seems to love it. They're like, yes, it is an updated Diablo clone, and that's perfect for it. Like, it's by no means a perfect game, but it's exactly what it should be.
I think that's an interesting choice. Definitely a cool kind of throwback game.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Speaking of a throwback game, I got Dragon Age Origins on my list.
Ah, it's so close for me playing that. Like, I can feel it. It's wrapped in under the tree. I know it's there.
Right.
So, yes. But you know what? I got to say, when I hear people talk about this game more and more, I get kind of scared.
I'm a little scared, too. People say it's hard.
They say it's way hard in a way that I don't know if I'm actually going to be able to put up with it.
I just feel like I need to take the training wheels off. Played a lot of KOTOR.
Yeah.
on a Mass Effect. It's time. It's time to really, really sink my teeth in.
See, if Rory from the X-Strike Studios podcast said that, you know, he played it a bunch, and it got to a point where he just got stuck, and he got stuck. And then one day he's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to pop it in. And he said he sat down on the couch, got up, cleaned his apartment for 2 hours, and decided it was time to ship the game off to Goose X and trade it in for points.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it just frightens me. That's why it's not on my list, because I'm going to play it. But right.
You're tentatively looking forward to it. What else is on your list?
I'm a little timid. So also on my list, Half Minute Hero, the PSP game.
This almost made my list. This looks really, really cool.
Just because it's such an interesting concept, like totally bonkers, out of this world. Like, let's do the freneticness of like a WarioWare game where you're just doing like really, really little things, but try to make it work. And all the videos I watched of it, like the game or the Giant Bomb Quick Look, mm-hmm. it looked totally cool.
Yeah, that quick look took me from like, I don't care about this game, to like, I need to get this game.
But the problem is, I don't have a PSP, so I'm never going to get to play it.
Yeah, I'm hoping it'll either get cheap or like disappear, so I need to probably get on getting it pretty soon.
Yeah, you have to watch out for that, because sometimes those games are just, they're gone. Like, you can't buy them anymore.
So, last game on my list would be Mario & Luigi Bowser's Inside Story.
Oh, hey.
The more I hear about this game, the more I get excited. You know, I loved the first two Mario & Luigi's, didn't care for the third, and everything I hear about this one, again, is like they're figuring out the formula. It's been a while since I played a game like this. You know, this is the kind of game that I like to play on my DS, where I can, you know, kind of turn the sound off, play it in long and short spurts. So I think it's time. I think it's one of those games I feel like I can sink my teeth into.
Awesome. I have no interest.
Like, okay.
This is zero. Like, none. I'm never... It's one of those games where it just sits there and, like, even if that dropped to, like, $10, I don't think I'd buy it.
Wow.
Now, that's... I mean, that may be a bit of a stretch, because I just bought Final Fantasy V for whatever for $10.
Final Fantasy 4. DS Remake 4.
Yeah, DS Remake of 4.
Dude, 4 is great.
Bought that for $10.
Cool. So what's your final game?
Last game on my list is actually a DS game, and that's Retro Game Challenge.
No kidding. Okay.
Do you remember hearing about this game?
Oh yeah. Of course. That's the one based on like the Japanese game show.
Yeah, it's like it's got this crazy Japanese game show vibe, and it throws you into these games, and in that same WarioWare style, like you're paying, you know, little bits of different genres of games as you're moving through, you know, parodies of games and all that stuff. And it seems like such an interesting concept that I would love to tackle it. I wanted to save it for last because it was so different from like the big, like, yes, I want to play Uncharted 2. Yes, I want to play Modern Warfare 2. But if I get my hands on it, that's a game I just really wanted to try. And it's made by the same people who made Half Minute Hero. X-Seed.
Those people are crazy. Yeah, those are two really good choices. I'd like to play them both.
Totally weird. And that was this week's The List.
That was The List.
And guess what? Once again, you did not get to answer.
That's right. Sorry, everybody.
We had hopes and dreams and aspirations and stuff, and then it became tentative whether or not we were going to be able to do the podcast because of the snow and whether people are going to be available and all that kind of stuff. So we just said, screw you. You're out. We don't care about the listener anymore.
That's right. That's the new attitude going into 2010.
And that is going to do it.
That's this week's podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks all year for listening. It was a great low score year. A lot of big support. Lots of great guests. Can't wait for the future.
Yes, we're looking forward to having more different people on the show next year as we sort of figured out this whole guest Skype, all that crap system, and talking about the new things that hit in 2010. Now, first off, you need to go to magfest.org. Make sure you're pre-registered.
That is the next time you'll hear us. Definitely, we will be there before we have another podcast at the feed.
You're going to come out and you're going to see us. We're going to play. We're going to do panels. We're going to do a live edition of the Low Score podcast. We're going to play
live lists, which you will be able to participate in.
We're going to play Password. It's going to be totally awesome.
It's going to be great.
Beyond that, you need to go to lowscorepodcast.blogspot.com. Go to the URL bar, copy it, control C, go on your IM list, control V, control V, control V, control V. Tell all of your friends about the Low Score podcast. Go on iTunes, perhaps rate us.
That would be great. Yeah, if you want to do something for the holidays, spread the word. Tell your friends. Let everybody know. Say, hey, you like video games? you're off. You got some downtime here between Christmas and New Year's. Why don't you listen to a couple of these episodes?
We are the number one podcast titled Low Score that does not deal with golf. So
that is, hey, you know what? Baby steps, man. Baby steps.
You're going to go on the podcast, or you're going to go on the website. You're going to go on iTunes. You're going to get you one of the podcasts.
Go get you one. You put a subscribe. It's like, come on, you want to subscribe?
What you want?
I want you to subscribe to the Low Score Podcast so you can catch an audio ride.
Don't be shy now. Come on, catch a ride.
I've got to find a better way to incorporate these throughout.
I know. And like has anybody who listens to this played Borderlands? I hope they all understand how awesome this game is.
Yes, this is the catch a ride. You should definitely.
This is where the cars live. Catch you.
Get you one.
I need to make a get you one just by itself.
Yeah.
And just intersperse it throughout the show. Comments, anything you want to say to us as the year ends, so we can come and visit in January when we do this over the internet again, not live. lowscorepodcast@gmail.com. And that's it.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you in 2022.